It's easy to take the comforts of modern travel for granted. But not so many years ago, travel for business or pleasure wasn't always so easy, especially for African Americans. It could be strewn with daily obstacles and danger. Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, Calvin Alexander Ramsey shares the story of a special guidebook that circulated among African American communities in the mid-20th century. We'll find out how Black businessmen and families relied on the Green Book to find a welcome and a safe welcome on the road during the days of segregation and Jim Crow laws. Let's open the hour with a look at the mostly gentle rivalries and the ribbing that helped to underscore the differences between the Scandinavian countries. From the outside, we often lump Norway, Sweden, and Denmark all together as Scandinavia. It's because of their common Viking history and their similar languages. But as we're about to find out, no one spots our faults so easily as our closest neighbors and cousins. We've invited Åsa Danielsson from Sweden, Paul Johansson from Norway, and Jena Clausen from Denmark for a little Scandinavian smackdown. Jena, Åsa, Paul, thanks for being here.
Tusen takk.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Tack så mycket.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Can I just hear each of you say your names with the proper... let me hear you in Scandinavian. Say your name and where you're from, please.
My name is Jena Clausen. Jeg kommer fra Danmark. I'm from Denmark, near Roskilde.
Åsa?
Åsa Danielsson från Stockholm i Sverige.
Paul Johansson från Oslo i Norge.
Okay, now, Åsa, when we think of the word Scandinavia and we think of the word Nordic Europe, what is the difference?
It's a geographical difference because the Scandinavian countries are the countries that have to do with the Scandinavian peninsula and the Scandinavian mountain chain, which goes between Norway and Sweden, and the last little bump is Denmark before it goes into the continent.
So those are the three countries that make
those
Scandinavia.
Those are the three countries, so the only three.
What is Nordic Europe then?
Nordic Europe includes also Finland, which used to be part of Sweden for many, many centuries, and also Iceland, and sometimes we include the Faroe Islands.
Iceland is related linguistically and culturally more closely, but Finland is quite a different story, isn't it?
Exactly. Finland is a country that has a language which is not at all related to the other Scandinavian countries, but it shares a history with Sweden. And we share a lot of common traits.
In fact, the second language in Finland officially is Swedish.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they have a Swedish-speaking minority, a very powerful minority. So it's actually, it's the country with the strongest minority laws in the world because of that.
So Helsinki would be the Finnish word. Is there a Swedish word for Helsinki?
Helsingfors.
Helsingfors. Mm. And you say that with a good Swedish accent, I suppose. It sounds just, for 10% of the people in Finland, that would be
But
the
it
way
would
you
be,
say it.
If I would say it in the Finnish accent of Swedish, it would be Helsingfors.
Helsingfors. Okay. Now, Paul, we've talked about the difference between Finnish and the Scandinavian languages. How are the languages of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden distinct, and how different are they?
Well, you could say that Danish and Norwegian, when you read it, it's very similar, but when it's spoken, it's quite different. The Danes, we used to say that they speak with a hot potato in their throat. It's like as if they are swallowing the words when they're speaking.
So, Jena, you're a Dane. Can you show me what Paul is talking about, the Norwegian?
Absolutely. I think probably the key phrase is a very famous dessert in Denmark, which is called rødgrød med fløde. And supposedly, during the war, they used rødgrød med fløde to kind of figure out who was a German spy. If you were able to pronounce that correctly, then you were not a German spy, and vice versa.
And now, give another...
Rødgrød med fløde.
Get that hot potato out of your mouth.
That's one of those things, yes.
In Norwegian, how would you say that without the hot potato?
Rødgrød med fløte.
I see. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the same, basically the same words. But now, can you read a Danish newspaper if you speak Norwegian?
Oh, yeah, no problem at
no
all.
Problem.
No problem.
And if you picked up a newspaper from Stockholm, would it be more different than a newspaper from Denmark?
It would be more different. There are more words that differ from Swedish to
Could
Norwegian.
You basically understand a Swedish newspaper, no problem?
Yes, I can. The interesting thing is that Norwegians, we tend to understand the Swedes better than the Swedes understand us.
Linguistically.
Yeah. And this is because my generation, especially when we were kids, we watched a lot of Swedish television.
Okay.
So we kind of learned the Swedish language that way. However, in Sweden, the influence by Norway was not that big.
Now, that would make sense because Sweden really is the dominant media power and the dominant population by
numbers.
Exactly. Åsa, when you listen to another Scandinavian, what's a telltale sign just by the language that you can go, oh, that must be a Norwegian? Is there a
You hear it immediately by the very positive singing. You cannot be mistaken. If someone sounds almost ridiculously positive, it's a Norwegian. And we used to make a little bit fun of the Norwegians with the Danes. We say, you cannot take a Norwegian who is angry seriously. You just can't, because he just sounds so happy and cute all the time.
So give me in your Swedish caricature a Norwegian talking happy.
Okay. Ja, men det är ju mye deiligt att vara här. Nej, det är inte möjligt.
Sounds a bit like we're singing, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you do that, because right now I've got this very strange sensation that I'm in the home of my Norwegian relatives. Mm. That's how they talk.
Exactly. It's like,
and I remember my dad watched my relatives talking to their children when they were being scolded. Mm-hmm. And my dad just shook his head and goes, that's no way to discipline a child. It sounds like they're complimenting
yes.
them. You know? But it's just that beautiful sing-songiness. It's a Scandinavian smackdown today on Travel with Rick Steves, as guides from Sweden, Norway, and Denmark share some of the things that set the Scandinavian countries apart from each other. Our guests are Paul Johansson from Oslo, Åsa Danielsson from Stockholm, and Jena Clausen from Denmark. Now, Paul from Norway, Norway and Denmark have a kind of a special relationship from a history point of view, mm-hmm. and Norway having to establish itself as apart from Denmark. Can you give us a little background on that, please?
Well, Norway, they were in a union with Denmark for 400 years. So, of course, they've had a pretty big influence on our culture. And our language comes from the Danish language. Before the Danes came, we spoke the Old Norse language.
So for 400 years, could you say that the elites of Norway who were working with the Danish overlords would mm-hmm. speak a language that sounded more comfortable to the Danish ear?
They would, exactly.
Maybe I can jump in also and just say that basically, that, and this is Jene Clausen for Denmark, that the Danes imposed Danish on the Norwegians. And the Norwegian language, they call it bokmål, which is book language, which basically means that anybody in power in Norway had to speak Danish, but they spoke it with their own Norwegian intonation. And it's just recently in this century after Norway gained their independence that they actually took some of the remnants from their own language, from the old dialects, and composed a new Norwegian language called Nynorsk. Yeah.
Yes, we did that back in the 19th century as a sort of a part of finding back to our roots.
To say we're not part of Denmark anymore, and you went back to your more the troublemakers in the hills language instead of the people in the big city.
Exactly.
Now, Jena, from Denmark, how can you identify a family name between like Norwegian and Danish and Swedish?
So traditionally, before people moved into the cities, you didn't need a last name. You just needed your name, and then they said son of whoever it was, son of Sven, son of Hans, son of Ole. And then once
or daughter.
Dottir, and the only country that still does that is actually Iceland.
So Iceland has the daughter, Arne
they had
daughter.
The dottir. They even had a president who was, her last name was Finnbogadottir. But in Scandinavia, it wasn't necessary, again, when you lived in an agrarian society, to have a last name. So again, they had the son, Søn. And in modern Danish and Norwegian, in general, the last name is S-E-N. Mm. And in Swedish, or in the Swedish language, it would be S-O-N. So also, whenever you see an S-O-N, you figure, oh, that's probably a Swede. And whenever you see an S-E-N in the name, like my name, Clausen, then you figure it's a Dane or it's a Norwegian.
So if I go to a cemetery in Stockholm, most of the tombstones will have S-O-N on the end of the name.
Double S.
S-O-N.
Yeah, like my name, Danielsson, two S. And then we have another thing in Sweden. When we went from having these, I am the son of, or I am the daughter of, and everyone had to change their last name, a lot of people took the chance to create a new last name. So the model for doing that was actually taking two words that came from nature and putting them together, like Lindberg. Lind means linden tree. Uh-huh. Berg means mountain. Lindberg.
So somebody they would go to the city where I need to be more than Jakob or Johan.
Yeah.
And you would say, I need to make up a last name. I could be Johan's son, but I think I'll be Lindenberry.
Yeah. Any two words that has to do with nature. Put them together and you have a Swedish last name.
Jena from Denmark, there's a concept in Denmark that I just love, hyggelig, that coziness, that conviviality, that intimacy. Mm-hmm. Is that unique to Denmark, would you say?
I think it is unique to Denmark in many ways. It probably originates there, but it's that sense of being content or contentedness. It usually includes, it's very hard to hygge sig by yourself. You know, you can't really be hyggelig by yourself. It usually involves other people. And not just other people, but food and drink, and sometimes lots of it.
So this is eating, drinking together, enjoying the magic evening hours.
The magic evening with a lit candle, or candles.
And when I go into a small town, I see lit candles behind the windows, and I see people having a convivial, cozy time together.
Yes. And it's so much more than just cozy. It's this sense of being content and being
happy. What is the Danish word again?
We say hyggelig.
Hyggelig. Åsa from Sweden and Paul from Norway, is that a distinction about Denmark, or did they just grab the word first? Are they better at hyggelig?
Well, they certainly use the word a lot more. So maybe that does mean that they are better at it. But we actually have a word that we use in Norway as well.
And what is that?
And that is koselig.
Koselig?
Yeah. Og kose seg.
Okay.
Which means to have it cozy.
To have it cozy.
Yeah.
And also in
mysigt in Sweden.
Okay.
Mysa.
So you have your
to cozy yourself.
Oh, right.
So we have three versions.
But the Danes use that word a lot, hyggelig. Yeah. And it's a nice thing when you're traveling in Denmark. Even in the big city, you notice this hyggeligness. We'll continue with your calls for Jena, Paul, and Åsa in just a minute at 877-333-7425 as we look at the cozy relationship between the Scandinavian countries as well as their differences. Later in the hour, we'll explore a facet of American travel history as we hear about an important role a handy guidebook known as the Green Book played for African-American travelers back in the 1930s all the way until the 1960s. Thanks for coming along. It's Travel with Rick Steves.